somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help!
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to another soon-to-be award-winning episode of Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Aaron at the board. That's the starting team tonight. How are you, George?
Hey, Billy, I'm doing good. Great show.
Yeah, we're going to have a great show. You must be looking forward to the lawn in your front getting nice again.
Yes.
I mean, I know you're looking forward to spring. You're looking forward to golf.
I am.
You want to get out there and cut those, you know, crop circles in your front lawn again, don't you?
I do.
To attract the aliens. That way you'll have
one
some
of these
company
days
this summer.
You won't laugh.
What?
One of these days you won't be laughing at me about
you
that.
You and your tinfoil hat. I don't know what to think of you sometimes.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, we have a great show tonight. We have with us Ken Owen from Life Rebuilders, formerly Midwest Challenge, and he's brought a couple of guests with him tonight, so we're going to have a great show. We are going to bring them on in just a little bit, time permitting.
If we have time, we'll
if we get interesting and we can go on the whole hour, they won't be on.
Get
but
ready,
I don't really
guys.
Count on
You're
that.
Be on pretty quick, yeah.
Get the mice close to your face. George, what do you got for us tonight? Do you have a step?
Well, I have two steps, but okay. We have steps 8 and 9.
So I have some questions for you.
Let's go.
What do you want to do first? Steps?
That's questions.
Okay.
Do I get a prize for these?
You never get a prize.
I did
I'm
well
just
last
saying,
week.
You didn't do well.
Thank you.
Always say if we've got a licensed chemical dependency counselor in the studio, let's take advantage of him. That would be George.
That would be me.
Yeah. All right, George, you know I've got an ongoing bee in my bonnet about some things regarding recovery.
Okay.
All right, you know, I don't know if the audience knows this, George, you have 29 years of sobriety.
29 and a half, but who keeps
29 and a half.
That?
Obviously, you are, and I have, I've never done drugs or alcohol, so I'm on the outside looking in, and you're on the inside looking out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you have a very strong recovery.
Well, we're not talking about me. We'll talk about me later.
Can we talk about me now? Because I'm done talking about you.
All right.
I want to talk about me some more.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Aaron, wake me when you know he's done. Can you bring a mirror in here for him? That'd be nice. Okay, George, you know that some of the concerns I have about the recovery process, and you're going to shed some light on this, I hope. Is it possible that certain 12-step groups and the brand that they have established, that there could be misinformation and myths that start to come into that way of thinking? George Fraser,
I would answer your question that is it possible that we get away from the truth? And I think any program that gets away from biblical truth, yes. And what they could become godless.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I think that is a danger.
Okay. So is it possible that it could have destructive and false self-perpetuating myths about who addicts are? I mean, this is just one thing I just return to every now and then, and I want to ask the expert, George P. Fraser, what he thinks.
I think if we align the Bible with our recovery, we're going to be fine. But getting away from that, we can get into trouble. What do I mean by that? Well, our big problem isn't that we have a drinking or drug problem. It's that we don't have a relationship with God. So is there a danger in 12-step groups that you can stop a behavior and never go any farther than that? And yes, you could, because the focus is on us. You know, my program, my recovery, my length of sobriety. How about, let's be honest, at least for me, I didn't want to quit drinking. The state of Minnesota did, wanted me to, my family did, everybody did. But until God touches your heart and changes it, you don't want to do it. Now, you can stop a behavior, but that's still all about you. And, Bill, we talk on this program. I believe addiction is idolatry. So recovery without Jesus Christ is still idolatry. It's about me. It's not about God.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, it's a good answer. If you're stepping into a program, is it fair to have referring to everyone as drunks? I mean, isn't that a little bit of a deprecating title with the assumption that everybody has kind of the same prognosis?
Well,
aren't we all sinners in need of a Savior?
Sure. And I'm okay with introducing myself as a recovering alcoholic and addict, because what I'm saying is I'm aware of my brokenness and my deliverance has come from Jesus Christ. So I think people can label themselves anything they want to as long as it's glorifying God. God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in Him. And so I want to be very careful. I think people have the right to identify themselves. Somebody could say that they're a completely recovered child of God who's born again and doesn't have any problems, and they have the right to do that. For me, I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict named George, and that works for me. It keeps me in touch with my own brokenness and saying that I'm sober today through the grace and love and redemption of Jesus Christ.
Okay, George, next question. But I'm going to add something.
Do I get a prize for this? Because I think I'm doing pretty well so far.
No, you can buy me dinner after the show.
Okay. Gosh, that'll be nice.
Yeah. This is kind of a tie into the last question.
Okay.
If you're identifying people as drunks, doesn't it suggest they're somehow different from others?
Well, they might be drunks.
Okay. But is it something you do or is it something you are?
It's both. Can't be a drunk if you don't drink, and if you do drink enough, you are drunk, right? So
all right.
It's both.
All right.
You know, it's a sinful state. Paul said in the Bible that he was the chief of sinners. Well, should he not say that? You know, he gets to write in the Bible. That's how he identified himself.
Yeah, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget that.
But, you know, I think people have the right to identify themselves the way they want to. For me as a Christian to say you shouldn't identify yourself in that is I'm taking something that's not mine, and that's their right to do that. And if that helps them, even though I don't agree with it, I don't have license to do that. That's how I see it.
Okay. Now, I love the idea of one day at a time, but is there value in forward thinking? Wouldn't that be a useful tool in addiction?
Sure.
It seems to me that forward thinking would be able to head off some particular urges or situations.
It's a great question. It's a both and. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, do not worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own. And Paul also said in Philippians, we must press on towards the goal. And I think the exciting thing is I don't want to do anything today that is going to limit what God can do in my life in the future. But I need to pick up my cross and deny myself daily. And that's to get on my knees every day and pray for the power, strength, and desire to stay sober today and to serve God and do His will for me, not have Him do my will, you know. And so, but I don't want to do anything today that threatens my future. I think the danger we can get in is I'm good now. I got this. I'm okay. I don't have a drinking problem anymore. I still have Georgism. I take me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And that's
still
the problem.
Breath.
Right.
Yeah.
That
brought the conversation to an end, didn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, George.
Is that the quest? Was that a question?
No,
the answer is
no,
yes.
It wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't. Okay. Let me just talk about this, too, real quick, because I've heard this many, many times, and
sure.
It's just one of those things that kind of keeps coming to the surface, and this whole idea of hitting bottom, and isn't bottom something that you see in your rearview mirror? Don't you realize, looking back, what bottom was? I mean, because you talk to people who are struggling with addictions, and you say, okay, now you must have hit bottom, and they go, they can live on the bottom for a long time.
Sure.
And, you know, bottom could be just having a crummy day at work, and you go, okay, that's it. Or bottom might be, you know, laying on the ground after, you know, you drove your motorcycle drunk, or who knows what, bleeding to death.
Sure.
So I'm just saying, is that a useful tool, or is that something that people in support of people who are using use carelessly or recklessly? Because it sounds like people who use don't care about consequences.
Well, that's there's a lot of questions there, and it's a valid point and a good observation, because I know you've worked with guys for years in the recovery field. And Bill, I don't like the term you have to hit bottom. You can change your life anytime you want to, but I think God has to pierce our heart through the Holy Spirit or however He does it, that's enough. I don't want to do this anymore, because a dead man doesn't know he's dead. And so I think it has to come from the outside that, hey, I don't have to do this anymore. I think it gets down to hope. Okay, let's say I have 29 years of sobriety because I hit bottom
29 and a half.
Yeah, and I hit bottom 29 years ago. Well, let's say I go out tomorrow and drink again. Is that a new bottom for me? I don't know. Too much thinking on my part and not enough doing. Let's mm-hmm. turn our will over to the care of God and pray for Him to, you know, show us what to do.
Okay. Is counting time a valuable tool in this recovery business? Because does it seem like we're putting a lot of stock in clicking off days on a calendar or months on a calendar? And if you do have a relapse, does that mean you're back to square one? You know, so often I hear people say, I've got 2.5 years of sobriety. I don't hear them say 2.5 years ago, I came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So we'll
it depends
on
if, you know,
and talk
you,
quickly because we're going to commercial.
Okay. Do you take credit for it? I mean, I'm not Joe DiMaggio with a 56 game hitting streak going here. The sobriety I have is a gift from God who brought it into my life. Okay. And so we want to get that. Now, if somebody gets up and says, yeah, you know, I have 40 years of sobriety and here's how I did it. No, you didn't do it at all. You didn't even want to do it. You were a little kid. You're going, okay, I'm going to get 40 years of sobriety. No. You didn't want to quit drinking. You know, you hadn't planned on hurting yourself that way. God allowed it to happen, and then he rescued you.
Okay.
I could hear the music. I know I'm
done. No, you're doing good. This has been interesting, George. I appreciate your expertise.
My opinion, not my expertise, through a lot of failure.
Okay, well, yeah. Your opinion then, which I hold in great esteem. I can't believe I just said that.
Don't be nice to me.
I know, I'm being
I'll
nice
come
to you.
Over there.
Yeah, you bring it
Are
on.
Are you sick?
You today? Bring it on, schoolboy. Yeah, I have a little bit of a sore throat.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to take a short break. Billy. When we come back, we're going to bring our guests on who are live in the studio. We're listening to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Aaron on the board. And, of course, Alex tonight, he's out. He's
wrestling.
Out at wrestling, yeah. But we miss him. We'll be back in a minute listening to Faith Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Aaron on the board. We're having an interesting discussion tonight, and I'm sure it will continue with our guests in studio. We've got Ken, Theodore, and Gary. And we're going to start with Gary. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You can't nod. You have to talk.
You know, we had such an interesting discussion on the break. We're talking when we come back on the show, and then we get live, and we
That's
get
true.
A head nod.
That's okay. That's
yeah.
Okay. It's always fun getting
Good
started.
Good to see you.
Gary, we're dying to hear your story.
Okay.
I mean, well, I don't want to just throw it out there, but
yeah, let's get to it.
You've had a history now of kind of using in and out of trouble with the law, a little bit of rehab, a little bit of jail time, the whole thing, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, throughout my life since I was 14, I've been back and forth using drugs and alcohol, treating people not too well, my family, friends, stuff like that. And, you know, it's amazing because I've always believed in Jesus Christ since I was a kid. I was brought up Lutheran. But I always managed to fall back. I call it the pits, you know, backwards into the darkness. And I believe that started big time when I was 14, and it was Easter morning. I found my father after he committed suicide. And it really got bad, my life, with the drugs and alcohol. And I didn't know what to do.
Did you discover your dad?
Yeah.
On Easter morning?
Yep.
And you were 14?
Yes.
I did not know this.
Yep. And that put a big damper on my life. And I didn't realize it then. I was in shock for a long time. I was angry, just everything. And that's a doorway for the enemy to attack, you know, people with stuff like that happening. So I was on, I call it the roller coaster most of my life, you know, back and forth from being clean and sober. And I could never manage to stay clean for 9-10 months, but I am, you know, more than 9-10 months. So I, until I really surrendered to the Lord, there was no other way for me. The last time that I used, I almost died. And, speaking of bottoms, I believe that was my bottom.
Was the using alcohol or drugs or both?
Alcohol, drugs, yep. And
okay.
And then I was also bitten by a poisonous spider. Well, so with all three mixed in my blood, I was walking dead man.
Hmm.
Yep, for sure.
Wow.
And I was by the river one day, this last time, and I said, Lord, bring me back to where I need to be. And my fiance Sherry brought me back home a day later, and I slept, and I got antibiotics, but I really surrendered to the Lord. I was done. The Lord has taken the desire away from me. I don't even feel like I want to use anymore anything, you know, to pollute my body. You know, it's it's a blessing from the Lord. And I'm in my life now, I am doing what I can to serve him.
I love that. Can we go back a little bit here in your story?
Mm-hmm.
After 14, what a gruesome discovery on Easter morning. How did your life change and your drug use change after that? What happened, you know?
Well, I was drinking a little bit of beer and smoked a little bit of marijuana with my friends. But after that, I started drinking way more, the hard booze. And I was doing hard drugs, and I was angry. I was fighting people. And I was taking it out on friends and family. And I was lonely. I wanted to be alone most of the time. And I just treated people really bad, and it's brought it into my adult life because I didn't know how to deal with it. And it messed up my adult life a lot.
You're a pretty big guy. Did you get in a lot of trouble legally? Did you hurt people? Or
yeah, I used to hurt people, you know. And then afterwards, when I'd sober up, I felt bad because usually I had the fire water in me, you know, and mixed with the anger. I'd
sure.
go looking for fights in the bars, or if someone looked at me wrong, I'd, you know.
I think George is looking at you wrong right now. Could solve one of my problems.
No, he isn't.
Well, I think he is.
But you know, but after I'd treat people really bad, and you know, and I was a little bit sobered up, I felt really bad inside about it.
Okay.
You know, and I believe that was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You know, I've always believed in Jesus and believed that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and everyone else's. And
of course, the demons believe that too.
The demons, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
Yep.
And you had some attempts at sobriety and some success, right?
Oh, yeah, big time. Yep. Yep. And over the last few years, I believe the only real recovery is through Jesus Christ. And you know, I've tried this and that and this and that, and I'm not cutting down any of the
sure.
the programs or nothing like that because they can help you. They can lead you to the Christ. And, you know, and people aren't going to believe me by word sometimes, you know, because of my past. But the past is gone now. I'm a new creation in Christ, and I look forward to my future with Christ, and that's where I'm at in my life right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How are you doing that? How are you walking out your faith?
I have, some people don't understand why I get up at 3:34 in the morning, but I get up, I get on my knees and I pray right away. And then I spend a couple hours in scripture, in the Bible, in God's word. And it's quiet. It's peaceful. There's nobody bothering me. And that's where I connect with the Lord is in the morning. It starts my day out positive. And it gives me hope throughout the day, you know, and it's just it's an amazing feeling. And Sherry, my fiance, says, oh, get back to bed. You know, no, this is my time with Christ, you know. And that's where I'm at. And throughout the day, I try to help people. You know, I surrender a lot.
Gary, I'm just curious if I can backtrack to 14 just because
okay.
you kind of dropped that bomb on us.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah, that was kind of a tough one to hear that you discover your dad had committed suicide. And I was just wondering, you're 14 years old. 14-year-old kids don't have the language to process these kinds of experiences. I mean, how did you start to work through this? What opportunities did you have to have adult conversation and actually get your little brutalized feelings off your chest?
For a long time, I fought it when counselors or psychiatrists would try to get it out of me to talk to them, and I pushed them away.
Okay.
You know, I didn't want to deal with it, and I had it stuffed in me, and I really didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, that was my question, is how do you process that?
Yeah, I didn't know how to deal with it.
So
at
anger's coming
age.
Out sideways, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, towards anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
and George is still looking at you funny, just so you know.
Actually, what makes you really angry is questions one after another, isn't it, Gary?
It used to.
Yeah. See, not anymore, George. Yeah.
I remember one time I was in, it was called Rainbow Bridge. It was a group for juveniles. And this guy said to me, had me in the middle of the circle in a chair, and he said, "I'm your dad," and I attacked him because I didn't like that. He wasn't my dad. But it hit my spot, you know, my sore spot. And that's what his plan was to do, was to get something out of me, you know, instead of just sitting there and not responding. So now I believe the Lord... The Lord knows what happened a long time ago.
You hit on a great point. Bill, I think, guys, one of the things that psychology does really well is identify problems. But most of us know what our problem is. We need solutions. And it's real tough, Bill, to have any solution outside of Jesus Christ. He might stop a behavior or get some coping skills so you don't erupt as much as you used to. But we're putting a Band-Aid on a major wound, and we're not healing it at the source. And the 12 steps are really good to identify and to work through problems and work it out every day. But if you don't have the Lord, you don't have the solution. And it's temporary. And the deliverance you can only get from Jesus, you can only get from Jesus. I'm real curious, Gary, what brought you to, I always want to say Midwest Challenge, and I'm going to get hit by Ken. Minnesota Rebuilders? Did I do that right?
Life Rebuilders Ministry.
I didn't quit in time. I got some brain damage. What brought you?
The Lord
them?
Did. God has a path for myself and everybody. You know, He has a purpose for our life. And I let Him lead me to wherever I need to go. Of course, when I got out of treatment this last time, I wanted to go home to Coon Rapids to Sherry and my dog and my parakeet. But God didn't want me to go there yet. So I put in an application to go at Life Rebuilders Ministry. And when I was looking at all these other sober livings, and none of them were falling through, I didn't like them. And one time I came back from one of them, and my counselor said, "You're packing up tomorrow. You're going to Midwest Challenge, Life Rebuilders Ministry tomorrow." So, and I said, "Yes, Lord." And that's what how I believe that I got here. And I really love it. And there's that part of me that wants to go home still. And I'll get there when God's ready for me to go there. So I'm able to visit at home.
So you went to Midwest Challenge Life Rebuilders.
Yeah.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
Ken gave me one of his cards so I don't mess that up again. I like that, and I like what you're saying. God's time is different than ours.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking of the psalm, Bill, "Be still and wait upon God." That's hard for Amen. Me as somebody in recovery. I want it right now, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I want it all right now, and it doesn't work that way.
Right. For myself, I got to be patient and be still, like you said, George. And things will work out. Just surrender to the Lord, and I'm living proof of that. One of the guys out of many. So
it's a strong testimony.
It is a strong testimony. You know, Psalm. I think it's Psalm 46:10, because the way I see that, Ken, is I would drive up to the Anoka Jail all the time to see guys, and there's like a crane over 94 with that scripture verse. So after a couple of years, I decided, hey, maybe I'm supposed to look that up. You know, and what a great thing. That's hard for us to stay in the moment, the one day at a time, the one moment at a time. But it sounds like you're doing that, and we can always get closer to Jesus if we spend time with Him. I love, Bill, getting up at 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the middle of the night, George. That's not early in the morning. That's the middle of the night. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, you get up about that time, too.
Actually, I do. I do. That is it.
Do you get the word right away?
I do. Connect to your power source right away.
Coffee or the
Amen.
Word?
Yeah,
the
word. Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Light.
That's a nice way to start the day.
It is.
I want to ask Jesus to go in front of me and be there at every decision I make and at everything I do. And that way I feel like I've, you know, prayed in advance of every conversation I'm going to have and every situation I'm going to be in. And I pray that God will be there in advance of me. So when I arrive to that temptation or that difficult situation or that hard conversation or that whatever it is, he's already there waiting for me.
I like that.
Because I figure I'm going to make, you know, on any given day a bunch of decisions about, you know, one thing or another, and I just want God to be present in all those decisions.
I think that's great.
Yeah, you know, I just made it up, but, you know.
I've got to keep things really simple, as you know, because I have a limited intellect. And for me, to leave the house without going in the Word, you know, living in Minnesota would be like going out in January without my coat on. It just doesn't work. And that wasn't as good as I thought it was going
to
be.
No,
but
no.
You know,
so
what I mean.
We're going to break anyway, so I'm going to save
you
right now. Yeah, I'm going to save you. We're going to take
you.
A break. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Aaron on the board tonight. Alex is out wrestling. Or he's at a wrestling something. Anyway, we miss you, Alex. Hope we love you, Aaron. See you in just a sec. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Recovery. So glad you joined us tonight. It is 5:33 on this lovely Sunday evening. George, we are broadcasting tonight with military-grade encryption. This is top secret.
Good.
Top secret conversation we're having.
It's good stuff, Bill.
There, the gentlemen here in the studio tonight are spilling to the glory of God their stories, letting them be known that Jesus is has helped them through very difficult times in their life. Gary was awfully nice to share.
Absolutely.
And next up, leading off, Theodore is up. Theodore, get that mic
low,
up by your
low.
Mouth. Yeah, no, the mic works fine. You don't have all to right. test it.
Another great voice, Bill.
Yeah, another great voice. So, all right, top that.
All right, I'll give it a try. I'm Theodore. I guess where I'll start at the bottom and work my way up. I was homeless. I was living in my car, donating plasma to buy more alcohol, stealing sardines and crackers from the gas station to eat. Didn't want any money going towards something I didn't need, like something other than alcohol. I would buy big jugs, big gallon jugs of wine, and I would keep one empty and keep one full of wine. The empty one was so that I could use it at night so nobody would see me leaving the car to urinate. So I'd urinate in this bottle. Now, of course, after drinking the full gallon, I passed out. And it was the middle of winter, so I was wearing all the clothes I owned to stay warm. Now, I dumped the wrong bottle all over me. Of course, woke up to this smelling putrid. But what I needed to do was wash my clothes, so I walked up to the local wash tub, the laundromat. I stripped down naked and threw everything in the wash. Now, as I'm sitting there washing my clothes and people are walking in and getting mixed reviews from them, I realized my life had become unmanageable. So that is when my brother found me, and God bless him, his dying wish was for me to find recovery. Shortly after that, he was killed in a car accident. So I took his dying wish to heart and sought out recovery. That brought me to many places. The one thing I knew for sure is that I've done everything I can possibly do to fix what I've become, and it wasn't working. Like a wise man once said, you got to know your limitations. So I realized that I had done everything in my power to help myself, and it wasn't working. So I had to reach outside of myself. And this is when my higher power spoke to me. He told me to let go of my will and do what was ever asked of me. So that's what I did. As hard as it was, I faced many issues, resentments, and anger that I wasn't willing to come to terms with for many years. But knowing that there was an angel on my shoulders and that God willing, I would be able to conquer these things. So I took upon myself to do what was ever asked of me by counselors at Park Avenue, by pastors I came across in Life Rebuilders, and got into the Word. Now, before I opened this Bible, I had grown up a Christian, you know, so I knew faintly who Jesus was. I've heard his name before, is to say, but I had never really studied his Word until I came to Life Rebuilders. Now, when I did start getting into it, I found that it's the best big book out there. I read many self-help books trying to find answers, and all of them did not have this simple answer that was in the Bible. Simple answer to me was to let God do it for me. I'm reminded, every time I found problems in my life, it was because they were self-created. Even when I believed I was doing good things for other people. I read today a scripture about, in the book of Daniel, about King Nebuchadnezzar in a dream he had about a mighty tree that gave shade to the animals and had lots of fruit in it for everybody to eat. And in this dream, it was cut down, only leaving the stump and the roots left. And he asked all the wise men what it meant, and nobody came up with an answer until he asked Daniel. Daniel told him that he was the tree, and it was this grandiosity of self that he believed that he was a greater than God's grace, greater than that people should praise him instead of God. So I took that to heart, and by simply, if I think of myself as a rock in a stream, I have to remove myself so that the stream can flow, and allowing God to do his work so that I can, another quote is, to be all I can be is beyond my control. God has to guide me in that facet.
Good stuff. Bill, our 12-step programs, our recovery workshops are all trying to do the same thing, and that's to deflate the ego. Get us out of the position of being God. It's the idolatry that we just have. We are focused on ourselves, our recovery, our everything becomes about us. What's God going to do for me if I, you know, make a decision for Christ? What do I get out of this? And what happens is when you're in the Word and you read stories about, like, Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar, did I say that right? Mm-hmm. And it's about the ego and the self, and it's all about, it's not all about us, it's all about God. And when we're broken and we're desperate and we're standing naked in a laundromat, not that I don't think I've ever done that, but then we realize, hey, maybe I don't have a solution here, and maybe my best thinking got me here. Maybe that is a bottom, and I'll reach out. And I think the one thing about our earlier discussion about hitting bottom, I think it's when you reach up. When you hit that point, you get that moment of mental clarity. Paul on the horse going to Damascus, the flashing light, that's hitting bottom. We reach up because we need help to get out of the pit we're in. Gosh, that's a great story. So how did you get to Life Rebuilders at Midwest Teen Challenge Incorporated?
We're not Teen Challenge.
Or Midwest Challenge, mm-hmm. Sorry. At 3049 Columbus Avenue South.
You're reading the card, you can't even get it right.
I can't see it.
Yeah.
I can't see it anymore.
He doesn't have his readers.
Yeah, I don't know.
About six locations, two counties.
Okay. That's Ken, everybody. We're going to get to
We'll get
him,
a mic on Ken in a second. Yeah. Yeah.
How did you get there?
Well, I got there through, I was offered a list of many places to go when I was inpatient at Park Avenue. And I had no place to go after I got out of treatment. So I was offered a list of many places to go, and this was one of them. I put in an application, and as Gary stated earlier, it was God's will that within 2-3 days of putting in my application, I was accepted. So I really saw that as normally you would apply and do a walkthrough and see if it's right for you. I didn't bother with that because I knew as soon as somebody told me that's what I should be doing, I followed instead of trying to leave.
So you came under authority and you got sort of fast-tracked there, and then, boom, all of a sudden you're in the Word and you're starting to see the promises of Jesus and your life is starting to be transformed.
Exactly. I heard somebody say once that first, you know, to come to believe, first you have to come. And then you come to, and then you come to believe.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to be around it, hear it, have it taught, be in the middle of it.
Oh,
go ahead,
great
George.
Points. Yeah. How
I
long,
always make great points.
How long had you been using?
Well, I had been using since I was 8 years old. I used to sneak my mom's wine. She had the Franzia box wine, so she could never tell the level in there.
Good thinking. So did you drink for 20, 30 years?
Well, I, of course I didn't drink heavily then, but I probably started up heavy around 14 or so. That's when I started getting the identity crisis going, you know, in high school and, you know, grade school there of who am I going to be to the people around me. And, of course, I chose a class clown because people flock to that. People like to laugh. People like to be influenced.
Sure.
So I found that through humor I could influence other people. Now, that wasn't always the best of things for me to be doing. I not only had the best intentions in mind, mostly it was for to get what I wanted.
Sure. So how long had you been drinking career-wise before you went into your last treatment?
Well, since 14, I drank pretty heavily until probably 26.
So 12, 13 years, let's say.
Yeah, then I got sober for about 3-4 years.
Okay.
And relapsed just recently, within the last year, and that's when I came into the Park Avenue.
How long was the Park Avenue treatment?
Well, I did the 30-day spin dry, you know, inpatient, and then I went for another 2 months of outpatient, still living in a Park Avenue facility. And then I went to Life Rebuilders and continued aftercare and finishing up what treatment I had.
How long did you live in your car? I'm trying to think, what's that like to live in your car in the winter? And do you start it every couple hours to try to take the edge off, or how does that, or are you passed out so you don't care?
Yeah, I mean, once I was in there, I was doing what I wanted, which was self-destructing.
Okay.
So to get warm would defeat the purpose of self-destructing.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we have one more segment. Listen to Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Fraser. Aaron on the Board. We'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for being with us tonight. Hello, everyone. It's 5:47 Sunday evening. I hope you're having a good weekend. You're listening to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser. We are having an interesting conversation tonight with Gary Theodore. And now we're going to bring Ken on, and we're going to talk a little bit. George, I know you've got a question for Ken as to how do you make this thing work. It's more than just a 30-day spin dry. You have to put it into practice and figure out a way to make it work.
Well, that was kind of the question. Thank you.
And
I loved what Theodore was saying, and Gary. One of the things that we see, Bill, is a lot of guys get that moment of mental clarity and they make a decision for Jesus and they do the 30-day spin dry, as Theodore said, and they got a great start, but they come out and go, I've got what I need, I'm good to go. And then we get a phone call a month or two later, gosh, I relapsed. What do I do now? And I think one of the things that Midwest Challenge Life Rebuilders does so well at 3049 Columbus, that's one of the six locations, is that they get people in and you got to learn what the word says. What's required of me? So, Ken, I come into your program. What do I do?
You know, we have a number of things that we ask the gentleman to do, but a lot of our programming centers around morning Bible studies. And the idea there is not just to instill, you know, biblical principles, but to introduce people to the living God, the living Christ, because the ultimate transformation only takes place when there's a relationship that's developed. I've seen a lot of people change their behavior, but, you know, frankly, you can change behavior through an act of the will. You can change behavior through shock therapy. I can change a guy's behavior just by putting a gun to his head, and it will change his behavior, but it doesn't change his nature. And we're looking for a changed nature, which only God can do. So our whole endeavor there, in the final analysis, is to see a man's nature changed by the Spirit of God. And once that happens, the transformation really becomes very real. And we see desires change, goals change, allegiances change, behavior changes as a result of that. Now, you mentioned that a lot of guys go through the spin dry, the 30-day treatment or 60-day treatment, and that's true. We see a lot of impatience. It almost reminds me of the parable that Jesus talked about as far as the sower going forth to sow. Some seeds fall on the ground, and they grow up right away. As soon as the sun comes out, they dry up because the root structure has not gone deep enough over a long enough period of time such that there's any kind of sustenance. We want to keep men there long enough, 6 months, so that they can really develop a good root structure. And by that, I mean a knowledge of the Word of God, an introduction to the Lord Jesus, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. So the Word of God becomes alive. We want to introduce them to a solid church, a men's group, volunteering, certain obligations that come with that. We want all that to transpire so that they can really maintain what they've learned there once they leave. Now, some of our guys last 6 months, a year. Some stay even longer, 2 and 3 years in certain situations. And that's good. But leaving in a month, 2 months, 3 months rarely ever works. We need guys to really drive those theological pilings down deep, get a really good, solid grip on the Lord, and allow the Lord to get a grip on them.
I love that. Our treatment centers, a lot of them are state-funded. And the reason it's 30 days is even if they aren't state-funded, it costs a lot of money. Treatment isn't recovery. It's about discovery. The recovery starts when we walk out the door. And just in the Christian life, as is the recovery life, you have to do this every day. There is no momentum. The rest of our lives, Christians have to pick up their cross and deny themselves daily and be in the Word. Bill, I've heard you give talks down at the Salvation Army, and you're very gifted, but you always talk about who is God. Not what do you think God is, and you talk about people have misinformation about who God is and what his requirements are. How would you know if you didn't know the Word?
Okay.
Is this bobblehead night on Real Recovery?
No, that's true.
And so you always encourage guys to spend time in the Word. In fact, you say, get a Bible and read it.
Yeah.
And that's what one of the things I like about this program.
What, isn't it the Spurgeon line that says, if a person's Bible is falling apart, usually that man isn't?
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
I'm just saying, George. I mean, that's an old Spurgeon line. But
are there some new Spurgeon lines?
I don't think there is new Spurgeon line. He's been gone for a while. But it's you have to be actively killing sin or it'll be killing you. And you don't do that with earthly weapons. You do those with spiritual weapons, mm-hmm. heavenly weapons. If you try to attack worldly problems with worldly solutions, you're in trouble.
Because yeah,
you don't
amen
win.
To that.
You don't win.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
George,
about,
give me an amen.
Amen.
And Ken, give me an amen.
Yeah.
I like that. Gary, give me an amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, our conception of God.
You're going to have a collection
going on. No, I might.
We get it through speculation or revelation, and we believe that we need the revelation of God. He has to tell us who he is, what his plans are for us. We have to listen to what he says about us rather than what our own old self says about us. And so we begin our Christian walk in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We look forward, and we move forward as a new creation in Christ. And call those things that are not as though they are, because the Lord says, I have already obtained them for you. Live in these things. You are a new creation in me.
Nice. What I also like about that, guys, is that they get involved with churches and volunteering. Our walk is an active walk. I think, Ken, you've worked mm-hmm. with thousands of guys over the years, and what we see is guys go, well, you know, this Christian thing won't be that exciting or any fun, or, hey, come on, put your seatbelt on, because you're mm-hmm. in for the ride of your life. But you gotta do something, you gotta be in the Word, and then you gotta do what it says, and you gotta share it with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
you're
what
a preacher,
I'm thinking.
George?
What's that?
You're a preacher?
No, I sold candy for a living.
Don't encourage him, Ken.
No. Yeah. But I like this a lot, because I think what you see with Theodore and Gary, these guys are excited. I mean, it's a nice day out there. They wanted to come in and say what Jesus has done in their life. That's fabulous to me.
I think so, too. And it's evident in their eyes. I mean, you look
yes.
at these guys and you see eyes that are alive. I've seen mm-hmm. guys whose eyes are full from drugs or alcohol, and those are foggy, lost, glazed over dead eyes. And these guys are bright, and they're focused, and they're intentional. And I think their future is very bright. Yours, jury's out, but theirs.
I'm kind of winding down. Late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you're on the back nine there. You can see the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's about over. Yeah. You know, it's exciting. And guys, for me, one of the things, Ken, in my recovery that I never get over is how gracious God has been to me, and how great we were talking before the show about our old lives. This was something so much more than I could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That God's plan for us is so much better than anything we could come up with on our own. But if you don't choose to follow him, you're going to miss it. We're going to put on our website how to get in touch with the ministry
mm-hmm.
at Life Rebuilders at
you
Midwest
got
Challenge.
It right.
Yeah,
you had your hand over it there for a minute,
George. One of the things that I'm learning from tonight's testimonies is 14 seems to be a magic number. I've heard this time and time and time again.
Yes,
you know, I think you know, puberty is like, for girls it's between the ages of 10 and 13, but for boys it's like Tuesday at 1:30, and it's like their voice changes and all of a sudden they grow up and they have this new manly kind of thing going on, and they instantly try to figure out what their identity is going to be. And I think 14 seems to be the recurring age. Mm-hmm. I keep hearing time and time again. That was when I had to fit in. That's when I started to feel my body change and my hormones, and I started figuring out what group I was going to be in. And with that comes incredible anxiety. In Gary's case, he had a lot of stuffed feelings from the death of a dad, and everyone's trying to find their identity, and they're reaching out to try to look cool, use cigarettes. I've heard that's the big gateway drug. You start having a cigarette, next thing you know, you're having a beer, and then you're having pot, and then who knows what's next. So to me, it's like, if you're a parent out there, boy, isn't that, you got to come around your kids, especially at that age, and ask lots of questions. Would you say mm-hmm. that's fair, Ken?
I think there's definitely something to it. I don't know if 14 is the magic age, but certainly puberty. 13, 14,
yeah.
15, something like that. And we find that many of the people who work with juveniles,
uh-huh.
they tell us, if we can get to these kids when they're 10 or 11, 12, we can save them.
Wow.
As soon as they hit 13 or 14, it's a longer process, much more involved, much more difficult. It's true.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Starts in the home. His dad's dead. He's on his own. He's an adult at 14.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Access to his mom's wine. Starts at home.
Well,
years
I like
old.
The box thing. You can't tell the level of that was creative. But we grow up too fast. What I see in a lot of guys that I work with, Ken, that are in recovery from addiction is their childhood was way too short. They became mm-hmm. adults at an early age, and they're not equipped to make the decisions. I know I wasn't. And they want to get a job and drop out of mm-hmm. school. And, oh, gosh, it's just one problem after another.
Once you start down that path, you know, I guess we could say a lot about it, but we find that one of the major problems is that a responsible father is not there.
Mm-hmm.
He's either abandoned his children or he's never been around. Yes. That's a major problem.
Well, it's been a fascinating hour, George. I want to thank our guests, Ken, Theodore, and Gary. I want to thank Aaron for being here tonight. I mean, this has been a fascinating hour. I think you were on top of your game tonight in the opening segment. I'm giving you 4 out of 4 stars. I don't know why.
You're tired.
I'm tired. I'm a little punchy tonight.
It's a great show, guys.
I'm giving
thank you.
4 out of 4. So it's been a really wonderful hour. Next week, we have Pastor Jim Putnam on the show. He is from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and he has got an remarkable recovery.
The wrestler?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ministry story. And you're going to not want to miss that hour. I appreciate you listening to us tonight. Thanks very much. Good night. Have a great week, and God bless.